The following is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900CHML.
Hello, everyone. This is Rob Golfi with RE/MAX, the Golfi team. Welcome to the Golfi Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition, with host Rick Zamprin.
Welcome to the weekend once again. Rick Zamprin here, Rob Golfi there. You can check out the Golfi team online, robgolfi.com. That's Rob, GOLFI.com. If you want to sell your house or you're in the market to buy a home, we know the busier spring market is here. Call the number one RE/MAX team in Canada, the Golfi team, 905-575-7700. Follow them on Facebook and X, TikTok, Instagram, Threads. And for an instant home estimate, you can also go online to GolfiHomeValue.com. That's GolfiHomeValue.com. Plug in some info and you get a pretty good idea of what your home could be sold for if you have the Golfi team by your side. Lots to talk about today. We got some really interesting topics in terms of interest rates and where they're going. Different kinds of, relationships when it comes to home buying not the untraditional way. We'll explain a little later on in the show. We're also going to talk about this Stony Creek housing versus parking debate that has really enraptured the community. But to start the day, let's talk about what is happening in your real estate life this week, Rob. And I understand some sales figures are in for parts of February.
Some sales figures are in, but we'll get the full amounts in probably next week. So we'll talk more about that. But I just wanted to talk about houses that are going full price or over asking this year versus last year in February. So in Hamilton and surrounding areas, this year there was approximately 461 homes that sold. Now, I think it's, you know, the full numbers aren't quite in yet. And then out of the 461 homes, 119 were full price or more. So So not too bad. It was like 0.25% that are selling for more than asking. So the market is almost similar to last year. Last year in February, there was 477 homes sold in February in Hamilton and surrounding areas, and there was 137 that were full price or more. Now in Burlington, this year 188 homes sold in February, and 51 of them sold for full price or more or over asking. And then last year we had 169 homes that sold and in Burlington in February, and 48 sold. So it's very, very similar, but I did notice that we are selling more homes. Now the Hamilton numbers aren't in, but we are selling more homes than we did last year in February. And the other thing is, what else is there? Niagara. In February, 553 homes that sold. 96 of them were full price or over asking. And in 2023, in February, 488 homes, 87 of them were full price or more. So it's very similar markets February of this year and the same as last year. But what I feel like, you know, the interest rates, now they've been paused now for about, I don't know how many months now, but I do feel that that these numbers will pick up, and because we're in the start of the spring market, and you're going to see numbers start climbing. Will they be the same as last year? Hard to tell. I really do think that mid-year that things will pick up more sales and more buyers will come into the market. But people are cautioned. I'll tell you, and I'll give you a story. We have this one listing. I had it listed over 700,000, and we did get an offer, and we settled on 700,000. The home failed home inspection, so we did everything to get this inspection, everything done, fixed. We spent thousands. Our client spent thousands to rectify everything. We put it back on the market, and we struggled. We listed at 7. We struggled getting 700 on that, and we actually sold for 700. In January, and it wasn't a problem, but the problem was when we actually listed at 7, we struggled to even get that number. So I don't know, it's just the luck of the draw. It just depends on timing. Sometimes week by week markets are different. So you just don't know if you got the right week or not. But they rectified all the things that needed to be rectified in this house, and we settled just under 700,000. It was pretty tough. It was frustrating, and we had tons of showings on it, and I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. But here's the ironic thing. We had two offers simultaneously come in on it. Not one of them came in over asking or even full price. So the buyers are smarter out there, which is a good thing. So they're not going to overpay for something, and they're being very cautious when they're putting offers in.
Regarding the sales figures or those that are at or over asking for February, and there's not much of a change, as you just shared in those stats from February to February, is there a change in the feeling among buyers and sellers, or is there a greater anticipation this spring compared to last spring, knowing or at least hearing that interest rates are at some point this year, we think, going to be going down? Is there a different buzz this year?
There is. I do feel and we are sensing that the buyers feel that the market is going to change and it is going to get better. And they're talking to their mortgage specialists, and they're probably signing up maybe for a year mortgage. I just renewed one, and I can't remember if I renewed for a year or 2 years. So it's short term pain for a long term gain. So interest rates will be under. You'll be able to lock in on a 5-year rate, probably, hopefully, if not this year, next year at 4.5%. And if you can lock in at that number, do it. And don't, if they do come down, which I doubt, if you can do that number, I would jump on it as fast as you can. So it is tough. I mean, even at the interest rates that we're at now, it's not a bad interest rate. But the problem is, the house prices are strong. So we went up through this big cycle of the housing market climbing so much, and it has adjusted itself. And I think we did hit bottom in December of last year, but now the interest rates, even at 5 or 6% at the average or benchmark price or average price out there, it is tough to afford a house. And that's why, if you talk to, baby boomers, or no, not even baby boomers, even older, like in the 60s, people that had mortgages in the 60s and 70s, if they had a 6% mortgage, they were laughing. They were the lucky ones. People looked at them and said, wow, you're lucky to have a mortgage at 6%. Now we look at 6% and say, wow, man, you really are paying a lot of money for your mortgage. Because we got spoiled. We did get spoiled through COVID. They shouldn't have dropped it that much. I don't know, it's just, what, everybody reacts to every situation, and COVID, the whole world shut down. They figure we got to bring everything back, but they should have brought the interest rates back quickly and get people back in the market. But people got spoiled, and now we're hurting from it. You know what I mean? So it's we just gotta live with it and deal with it, and that's why wages all went up, because people couldn't afford these houses. Everybody's asking, for more pay on their wages, because they can't even afford the house they're in, whether they're renting or owning. It's been tough for them.
I agree. I think the Bank of Canada kind of misjudged where we were a few years ago and didn't raise rates soon enough. And then when they did, they raised it too much, too fast, in my opinion. I'm not an economist, but it's created a lot of hurt. And, now some economists are saying, listen, the central bank is probably going to begin cutting rates in April. Others are saying, wait till June or July. Some are even saying the fall. We do know this. There are several polls and surveys out there that show a lot of Canadians are waiting for these cuts to be made. And when they do, they're ready to jump into the housing market. And, listen, if it happens in the summer, let's just say, do you expect a busier than normal summer then?
Absolutely. I think it is going to be a lot busier. And if realtors are out there that are struggling, don't go on vacation this summer, because you're going to be busy. Yeah, you're going to be busy working with your clients that have been sitting and waiting and sitting on the fence and waiting to see what's going to happen. But here's the problem. Everybody's waiting for the interest rates to come down, right? Okay, I understand. But that's when everybody's jumping in, and that's when housing prices are going to start climbing. And that's, you don't want to do that. Right now, sometimes it's actually good to look for a house, buy it now, get a 4 or 5 month closing. At least you might grab that quarter point that they're going to drop, or half point, whatever they're going to do. And then, you know, and you might have saved probably, you know, 30, 40,000 on a purchase. It just depends on the price point that you're looking at, but it's you got to do opposite what everybody's doing. You cannot go and buy a house when everybody else is buying a house. You got to buy a house when everybody is kind of sitting tight, watching the market and everything else. So you got to do the opposite.
Let's get into what is probably the hottest topic in town, and it has to do with housing, but it also has to do with parking, and that is in Stony Creek. We've got a couple minutes in this segment. We'll certainly carry it over to our second segment, but this debate has been raging for a few weeks now. The BIA in Stony Creek, business owners in downtown Stony Creek, and a lot of residents in Stony Creek are saying these two city-owned parking lots in downtown Stony Creek are going to be developed into affordable housing, 67 affordable housing units. This project will have 30 parking spaces, but they'll lose a bunch of parking spaces. And a lot of the businesses are thinking, well, we don't want to lose those parking spots. In the final minute of this segment, at first blush, how did the story hit you, Rob?
You know what? I know this parking lot, and I park there all the time because I'm in Stony Creek. I have my dentist that's on Mountain Street right there, so I park in that parking lot. Mm-hmm. And getting a park there is pretty easy. But that parking lot's probably, I would say that parking lot is probably, I say, 75-70% filled at any given time. I mean, I go to Stony Creek Tailors, that's downtown Stony Creek. Mm-hmm. I go to the dentist there. There's a lot of different things I go there. Now, I like the parking there, and I also understand that we do need affordable housing. The city owns this property, and I think if they lose the parking, they'll gain the people that live there to shop downtown.
Yeah.
But they're going to lose a lot more of people that aren't going to shop, because there's only so many parking spots on right downtown Stony Creek.
Right.
There's only so many. There's sometimes people that are parked there all day, which they shouldn't be. They're probably people that work there. They should park someplace else so that they can get the people that come and go all the time. But I feel, you know what, I feel that to solve this problem.
Let's hold that thought right there. Let's get your thought to solve this problem in our next segment. You talk about a hook. You're going to have to stay tuned to hear what Rob's going to have to say about this Stony Creek parking versus housing debate. It is the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
Welcome back. This is the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with Rob Golfy, sales representative, REMAX Escarpment Realty, the Golfy team. Call them today if you want to sell your house or you want to buy a home. That number is 905-575-7700. You will be calling not only the Golfy team, but the number one REMAX team in Canada. Online at robgolfy.com. That's Rob, GOLFI.com. If you have a topic idea or a question for the Golfy team, send them an email, questions@robgolfy.com. Again, that email address, questions@robgolfy.com. So let's dive back into this Stony Creek parking versus housing debate. We know it's more than just that, but it's a neat little way to kind of encapsulate how the community is feeling. Do they want to retain two municipally owned parking lots in downtown Stony Creek? The BIA does, the businesses there do, the residents all want that parking, those parking spaces retained. Others in the community are saying this is a great opportunity to add to the affordable housing stock in this city, which we desperately need. So, Rob, just before the break, you thought that you had a solution to this program.
Yeah, I think so. In Toronto, people are used to driving underground to find a parking spot, and then, you know, finding the staircase or elevator to the street level. And we're not at that point, whether it's downtown Hamilton or downtown Stony Creek, but they can build a building on pillars, and then people can drive in and park on the main level. And then if you want parking for the building, you can go above that level, right? They can do that. They've done that. And a lot of buildings, I saw a building on Cannon Street. The first two levels above the main level is parking. And, you know, so people would drive in and go up the ramp and they would park above. So you would get those people to park that have, the affordable housing. They would park there if they have a car. And then you still have the street level parking underneath where it's open to the public, which satisfies them people. So I don't know how expensive that is. I'm not an engineer. I'm not a developer whatsoever, but I mean, I've seen buildings on pillars. Right. Like they build them up and, mm-hmm. you know, and then you have parking below and then you have your, apartments or condos above and it satisfies both parties. And, you know, so you still have the street level parking and then you'll still get the customer to come in. But I think if you get rid of all that parking, you will see less people coming downtown if they can't get a parking spot. And, but you do gain the people that live there, but that's less than what the people actually probably drive there and shop there.
Yeah.
That will,
That's I think that's a unique solution. I think I have a prediction on how this is going to play out. I don't have any inside information from a counselor or a staff member or one of the developers, but I can almost guarantee that this project is going to be sawed in half. We're going to take one of these two parking lots. We'll build the affordable housing on that lot. The other parking lot will remain a parking lot. That's my prediction.
You know what? That is probably what's going to happen. That sounds pretty logic. So at City Hall, both parties win.
Yeah.
They both win. Yeah. And yeah. So you know what? I didn't even think about that. So that's good. See, Rick, you should be in politics.
Here we go.
You should. Yeah, I'll vote for you for sure.
apart from this, like there are other places in town. We know whether it's a parking lot or an old school that they can build affordable housing on. In fact, the Hamilton Wentworth District School Board, the local public board, there was a motion at one of their meetings earlier this week where they're reviving this plan to build a community hub at the site of the old Lake Avenue School that would include a residential tower of affordable housing. One of these, you know, high-rise projects that have affordable housing units. I think it's a great idea, and that's one of many. The Sir John A. McDonald School site, you can put a bunch of homes there. The old Delta School in the East End, there's, you know, prime real estate opportunity to build more homes on these spaces. But the board, for whatever reason, is not budging or doesn't like a plan that makes sense to them. I don't know. What are your thoughts on building in these old school sites?
You know what? They have done that. I know there was a couple on the Hamilton Mountain schools. They closed down and they developed houses on there from you know, way back in the 90s. I think if you take like downtown Stony Creek or even downtown Hamilton, I'll give you one perfect example. On King William, that's becoming a beautiful area, and they've got restaurants and everything there. There's one parking lot there on the corner, mm-hmm. and King William and James Street. If you recognize that,
yep.
That I'll tell you, that parking lot is jammed, rock solid. Like you can't even get a parking spot there at 12:30 in the afternoon, just because everybody's going there for lunch. Now, if they turn that parking lot into a condo, which I think if it's not going to happen in now, it's going to happen within 20 years from now. mm-hmm. That'll be converted into a high rise. But the problem is the city doesn't even allow enough parking for regular people to just go there and park and shop or go to the restaurants. But I feel that we're losing parking for the public, and I probably won't go there as much just because. If that parking lot is gone, where am I going to park? Mm-hmm. I have to, you know what I mean? Like that's the tough part. And that's why, you know, the parking in Stony Creek, but with the school housing, yeah, if they're not using the schools, definitely, you know, you use them up. And, I mean, because people are expanding to the, you know, outside the, inner city part. So, you know, a lot of developments are happening, so they need schools there, but, and they'll just bust these people if there's not that many people in the schools within the city. If they turn them into housing, why not? You know, they've been doing it for forever everywhere.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. We'll see how it shakes down over the next few years. Here's a very interesting one, too, and this has to do with alternative home buying methods. And, you know, the most popular one being co-ownership. There was a new survey out commissioned by RE/MAX Canada that Léger did, and it found that 50% of Canadians, half of Canadians, would consider alternative methods of buying a home. 32% are actually exploring this right now due to all the economic highs and lows of trying to find a home. Not surprising that half of people who don't have a home are considering this. Although, and we've talked about this on the show before, if you're thinking about co-owning a property, there are some do's and don'ts, right?
Absolutely. I think it's a good way to start. If the dynamics work and the personalities work, and it's the only way it's going to work if they're going to be able to get going, if they don't have help with family or friends, co-ownership is a lot of friends do that. They move in and buy a place and live together. But you got to have everything written in like an agreement, you know, who gets the primary bedroom with the ensuite, all that kind of stuff. You know, you can get two people that, you know, own the house, and you get a third one that that can rent another room, you know, and build your equity there. It's people are doing it, and families sometimes, you know, like a lot of immigrants come in and they live with two, three families in one house until they get situated. They'll pay the house off and or whatever, but it's the only way to do it. If you're going to have that dream of owning a home, it's the only way.
Yeah. And it seems to be more and more popular, but you mentioned it off the top too. Like you have to have a lot of things set in stone. Like who's going to pay for what utilities, you know, what happens if someone doesn't pay? Like there are a lot of things to consider.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you can get, let's say two girls that are buying it. They got long hair. One blow dries her hair for an hour and the other one doesn't. They say, hey, our electric bill is going to be so much. Yeah. Like you could see the little fights that are going to happen.
Sure, yeah.
You know, the hydro bill's at 150, should be at 110, 120. And so they're going to be, you know, there's going to be battles, I'll tell you. Because, I mean, the reason why they join together is because they can afford it, but they couldn't afford it on their own, and they're trying to save money so they can buy each other out or sell it. And then they go their separate ways down the road. But yeah, like you got to have the rules written down, but sometimes still it doesn't work out that way.
Mm-hmm. I say, just let it air dry. That's the right.
That's it. That's the way I do it.
There you go.
That's the way I do it.
By the way, according to this Léger survey, again, commissioned by RE/MAX Canada, the leading demographics considering sharing a home are people aged 18 to 34, which is not surprising at all, and BIPOC Canadians, which are Black, Indigenous people of color, who are considering this as well. Again, no surprise, those between 18 and 34, probably the biggest group that can't afford a home, are looking to join forces to get a home.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why they're doing it. And especially when they hit 30, they go, wait a minute, I need to buy a house.
Yes.
So what other way can I do it? So, you know, they partner up. This is like people going on dating sites. There'll be sites out there to partner up with somebody to buy real estate with.
That's not a bad idea, to be honest.
You know what? I just thought about that now.
Wow.
We'll team you up with somebody that you'll get along with.
There you go. Coming soon to romgolfi.com.
Let's talk about
prices, because there are some suggestions that prices, when the interest rates come down from the Bank of Canada, prices for homes are going to start to go up. And this is boiling down to what economists think may or may not happen. But only once that there's been a big drop, and let's say, you know, 100 to 150 basis points, which would take the overnight lending rate from 5 to 4 or 3.5%, will buyers and investors flood the market again. That's one of the projections that some economists are saying. If we, you know, say it's April or say it's June, the Bank of Canada says, all right, we're cutting by a quarter of a percentage point. I can't imagine that's going to have a huge impact on the market compared to a 1% cut. That would be massive.
Yeah, you know what? That's the debate in the office. Like, what is going to be the first cut? Is it going to be a quarter point, half point? I don't think it's going to be higher than a half a point. I think they're going to just tiptoe their way slowly. do a quarter point because they don't want that market to get out of control. And but it will pick up the sales because people feel confident that things are going in the right direction. But and I do feel that housing prices will climb a little bit. Now, in the past year, it's been floating up and down, you know, 10, 20,000 up, 10, 20,000 down. It's just been pretty well flatlining right through. But I do feel that we're going to see the appreciation of real estate values start climbing the second half of this year. And it'll be at a nice moderate level. And then if they do another quarter point or whatever, let's say 6 months, like at the end of the year or January, you're going to start seeing things start, you know, happening more and more. You know, there's more and more people right now. I mean, they need to do it because a lot of you've probably been reading a lot about condo developers. They're closing up. They're going bankrupt because they can't finish their jobs because delays and interest rates and cost of construction and everything. That will help spur that back up again, and hopefully they can finish these jobs that they couldn't finish.
Let me ask you this: we've got 3 minutes left in this segment. When rates do come down, let's just say it's sometime in the summer, it's a quarter of a percentage point. Do you think more first-time home buyers will be incentivized to jump in, or more investors, knowing that the rate could come down further, maybe even as early as later on this year? Do you think who gets the head start first, first-time home buyers or investors?
I don't think the investors will jump in just yet. I think the first-time home buyers will. The investors, it's not enough to generate a profit yet. They will jump in 2025 when there's probably probably close to 0.75 points or half to 1 point. I think they'll jump in then, but not at a quarter point. They're going to sit on the sidelines and wait and watch. The first-time buyers are going to definitely come back for sure.
And for the simple fact that, from an investor standpoint, the return on investment is going to be nullified if that rate remains high. Because, I mean, they're paying the mortgage as they're flipping the property.
Absolutely. Like right now, condo buying is tough. If you're out there buying a condo and you're at the site, just opening it up, even with today's interest rates, most condo investors, they want to flip it before they take possession. That's not happening as much now, so I wouldn't take that risk. But if you end up taking possession as an investor, will it cover? Because your condo fees and your mortgage and everything else, the rent is not enough to pay for all that. So you have to be very careful with that. And they're building a lot of condos. Now everything is high rise, but people, even the townhouses are becoming too expensive. It is tough. It is tough to make a profit as an investor, to make money on these properties. And that's why they're not selling as fast. And I'll tell you, without investors, condo buildings would not be going up. The investors are probably 70% of the building, and then slowly they get sold over to the consumer, the end user that wants to buy and live there down the road.
Yeah, margins are certainly tight, that's for sure. If you want to sell your house or you're on the market to buy a home, call the number one REMAX team in Canada, the Golfy team, 905-575-7700, online at robgolfi.com. That's robgolfi.com. Rob referenced it just a few moments ago, builders walking away from projects and home buyers are losing their deposits. We'll talk about that. And we'll also talk about garages and how all of a sudden in Toronto, of all places, they are a hot commodity. That's coming up here on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
This is the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition, on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with Rob Golfy once again. Rob is a sales representative with RE/MAX Scartman Realty, the Golfy team. You can get them online at robgolfy.com. That's Rob, G-O-L-F-I.com. Check them out on TikTok and Instagram, X, Threads, and Facebook. And if you want to sell your house or you're in the market to buy a home, call the number one RE/MAX team in Canada. That's the Golfy team, 905-575-7700. That's 905-575-7700. Well, there's a institution, organization called Tarion, and it's facing a huge problem, a $90 million problem. That's because there's a bunch of builders in this province who have walked away from their projects. They started out in good faith, wanting to build affordable units, wanting to build units that people can buy and move into, cure some of the ails that this housing crisis has created. The problem is those costs have escalated because interest rates have gone so high. And what is an even bigger problem is that a lot of home buyers are losing their deposits. Rob, this is scary.
It is scary. And you got to be careful of how much of a deposit you put in when you're buying a new home. Now, I took this off the site. Now, if you signed your purchase agreement before January 1st of 2018, so like, let's say the condo development, your deposit is protected by Tarion up to a maximum of $40,000. Okay, that's before January 1st, 2018. If you signed... So if you signed before and you got $60,000 deposit, you're guaranteed your $40,000 back, but the other 20, good luck.
Right.
If you signed on after January 1st of 2018, your deposit coverage depends on the purchase price of your new home. So basically, if you purchased $600,000 or less, you're covered up to $60,000. Okay. Now, if you're over 600,000, you're covered up to 10% to a maximum of 100,000. So like, let's say, the condo developer, you're buying a $600,000, condo, and he's asking you, or let's say you're buying a $1 million house or whatever, and he wants a $200,000 deposit, you will be covered up to $100,000. The other $100,000, if he goes bankrupt, you're kind of screwed.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be very careful. Go onto the Tarion site and find out what's the maximum that you should put as a deposit. And if the developer's asking for more, just say, hey, no way, man, I'm not gonna. I stand to lose if you don't follow through on your job and you go bankrupt, because every development has its own corporation. It's not like his personal assets are on there. It's not like it's his other companies are on there. Every development has its own corporation. So if he closes that up, he could have another condo development on the other side of the city still doing well, but it's not going to affect that. So be very careful when you're buying a brand new home on the deposit, how much to give. So don't go, if it's 600 or less, 60,000, don't go more than 60,000. Mm-hmm. If it's over 600,000, don't go, go 10% to a maximum of 100. Do not go beyond that, because you will not be insured for that.
And that $90 million figure that I referred to, that is the amount of money that has been claimed as a loss by home buyers who have lost basically a total of $90 million in deposits. And Tarion is now having to pay that money back. But what is worse, if you're losing more than your 60 or 100K that you've put down, now you're out that money. And that's hard to recoup. Oh.
A lot of people that saved all their money, hard-earned money for years and years, and are excited about moving into their new house and everything, and the developer goes bankrupt, they lose all that deposit if it's beyond what they are insured for, and so you don't want to get in that situation, and sometimes these builders, they ask for more money because they need it to build. They need that money, and that's why, and they get in trouble. They get in trouble. They're getting money from the bank, and they're getting money, and they're already in trouble, and then they're using that money. It's better, I'll tell you, when you're buying a new home, If you go through a realtor, we put it in a trust account. It's safe and sound there. Nobody touches it. The builder doesn't touch it. The realtor, the brokerage doesn't touch it. Nobody touches it. Now, if they can't fulfill their end of the agreement, then we'll work hard to get them that deposit back, no matter what it is, whether it's $200,000 or $500,000. It is sitting there. That builder did not touch that deposit, and he has no right to it because it's in a trust account.
And I can hear a lot of people screaming at the radio thinking, well, why don't they just change the rules, force developers to pay back 100% of the deposits or whatever that figure is. But that would really stunt developers from saying, okay, let's go build this thing.
You know what? They did change the rules because it was $40,000 insured for before. Mm. And then after January 1st of 2018, they upped it because they know housing prices were getting up more expensive, but they got to up it even more though. It's not enough. Like, look at this. Can you imagine people that have, you know, over $100,000 deposit on all these developments that, that Tarion's going? Yeah. And now what's going to happen is because of this $90 million, Tarion is going to be more expensive for the homeowner when they're buying a brand new house. Mm-hmm. You know how you buy a warranty on a car and it's like, why is it so expensive? It's like $2,500. It's like, well, I got to pay $2,500 on top of this for the extended warranty. Well, this is going to, it's going to be just as expensive. It's going to be way more expensive, especially with this huge claim. So now builder is going to have to charge you. And on the closing date, you pay that Tarion. You pay it after it closes, but the builder does have Tarion on the house. And that protects, Tarion protects, you know, if anything goes wrong with the house, you know, but then it also protects you before closing if they don't complete the transaction and they go bankrupt. But Tarion also protects, let's say you got foundation issues or you got structural issues, and if the developer or the builder does not fix it, they'll do it themselves. The Tarion will get their own contractors. They'll go in there and get it fixed, and then they'll charge it back to the builder or developer.
Interesting stuff. We'll tell you in our next segment why some homes in Toronto are going for a little bit more. That is next on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML.
You're listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
And one more go-round here on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with Rob Golfy, sales representative, RE/MAX Escarpment Realty, the Golfy team. Find them on the World Wide Web, robgolfy.com. That's Rob, GOLFI.com. Call the number one RE/MAX team in Canada. That's the Golfy team, 905-575-7700. If you want to sell your house or you're in the market to buy a house, 905-575-7700. Well, quite recently, Canada had a national auto theft summit. So many cars in this country have been stolen. Many of them head out to the port of Montreal and off to the Middle East they go, and they're resold there. It is a huge issue, so much so that Toronto recorded a two-decade high last year. More than 12,000 cars were reported stolen, in Toronto. So why do many people want to move to Toronto and, have this to deal with? Well, they're thinking, well, I can move to TO if that is the case. But if I do so, I want my home to come with a driveway or, even more importantly, a garage. And because of that, we're seeing homes with garages especially go up in price, 50 to 100K just because they have a garage. Rob, this is pretty interesting to see.
It is. You know what? And I watch on social media all these cars that under surveillance, like the people have cameras on their houses and they see some people come up to their driveway, steal the car. My accountant on the Hamilton Mountain, they stole his Lexus right out of his driveway.
Wow.
That the neighbor's cameras saw it. They came in. It was like nothing for them. It was like they came in. They went into the driveway. They must have had the code key. Maybe they followed him to that house. They probably picked him up at a parking lot, got his code key as he went into the car, followed him to his house, and they said, okay, looks like tonight we got ourselves a Lexus that we're going to pick up. And that's happening. It's happening here in Hamilton, but it is major in Toronto. And yeah, I get you. Like you, like in Toronto, there's a lot of people that have houses don't even have a driveway or don't even have a garage, and they want to drive their nice car, and it's gone when they wake up in the morning. But the garage, people would want a house with a garage. Park, they drive in into the garage, and safety reasons too, because people are getting hijacked with these cars. They get pulled over or they're pulling in their driveway. And guys are coming in and stealing, pulling them out and taking the cars away from them. And you want to be able to pull into your garage, shut the door and get into your house. That's how bad it is. You almost have to be at a point where you don't want to have a nice car anymore. And you know what? And I'll tell you something, these luxury, dealerships, they're probably loving it because people are coming back buying another one. And I bet you auto sales in the luxury, era are doing very well.
Mm-hmm. Scary situation. It was either Dundas or Ancaster, and where four guys, you know, held a couple at gunpoint, you know, early hours in the morning, and they take off with an SUV and a Porsche. And I think they caught one of the guys and found one of the cars in Toronto, which was probably heading, you know, overseas somewhere. It's a really scary situation. Can this be relatable here in Hamilton? Are homes with garages going to be just a little bit more wanted from the people who are looking at homes?
Yeah, I think so. But anybody that can afford a car that somebody wants to steal, they probably live in a house that has a garage. You know what I mean? Like it's like if somebody's got a Porsche and they're living downtown and there's no parking. I mean, there are areas like that people have nice luxury. You know, like on Herkimer, there's some houses there. There's no garages. People park, you know, in front of or behind their house. Yeah, those houses there, they're probably going to say, hey, I'm moving here. I'm going to go where there's a garage. I don't have to worry about, you know, not seeing my car in the morning. Mm-hmm. And people now have to worry about, you know, don't leave personal items in the car anymore. Like, you know what I mean? You know how you have a lot of stuff, you know, your wallet in there, because they steal your car, they steal your wallet, they steal all your other things. So you can't have that extra stuff that's laying in the car anymore, because when they steal everything. They're not going to say, okay, here's your wallet, I'll leave it here for you. I just need your car. They're not going to do that. So,
yeah. Soon we'll all be riding bikes because all of our cars will be stolen. Yeah. Hopefully
exactly.
That doesn't come to
exactly.
be.
Exactly.
Hey, you can listen to our show online through Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and many more. Just search for the Golfy Real Estate Show in your favorite podcast platform and hit the follow button so you never miss an episode. Thanks again, Rob, and thanks you for listening to the Golfy Real Estate Show. We're back next Saturday at 9 on 900 CHML.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.